Okay, Hot Zonians, this is Chuck Holton, and I've got Mark Tomlett here with me today. Just a quick podcast for today because we've been driving all day long. We just got back, it's dark, and we have a whole lot to do still for this documentary that we're making. I brought Mark Tomlett along with me because he's kind of starring in the documentary. He's a bright kid that is really enthusiastic and knows his stuff, and he is going to be kind of the star of the show in the documentary, along with the people that we're following. So you're going to be getting into the lives of these people in the Nagorno-Karabakh region and understanding the tragedies that they've had to face. But you're also going to be experiencing Armenia for the first time through his eyes. And this is going to be a lot of fun. I promise you that. You've been having a good time here?
I've been having an amazing time. I'm so excited, especially for the drone footage that we got to this afternoon. Yeah, absolutely insane of a 1,000-year-old church. 1,000 years old. So exciting.
Yeah, we've seen a whole lot of 1,000-year-old churches. And I know you guys have been hearing a lot about Armenia because I've been stuck here in Armenia and I've been loving every minute of it. It is a fascinating country. And it's going to make for an incredible documentary. And you guys have been very generous in helping out the people of Artsakh and the Nagorno-Karabakh region. And so we're just making a quick video today to talk a little bit about what you've seen and what you've thought about that. So start out with... We're still recording. Start out with just the first couple days here, going around to some of the monasteries and what the weather was like and that sort of thing.
Okay, so I started off going down to a monastery right here next to our hotel. And the first impressions, my first glances when I saw this place, I knew it looked really old. And immediately some lady, her name was Lillian, I think, she came running up to me. And she was like, "Whoa, I have to show you this." And we went under the monastery and she showed me the actual relics of a saint that was in the story of where Paul goes blind, Saint Ananias.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananias. And in that story, he plays a pivotal role. So she was telling me all about how this guy's relics makes this church super holy. And in their eyes, it's very culturally traditional. And for thousands of years, yeah, they've been coming there over the very relics of Saint Ananias.
Now, this is the... I think it's the oldest church in Yerevan. It's called Zoravor Church. And I attended that church the first time I was here. And little did I know, I'd be soon staying just down the street from that church. So we got an Airbnb. It's just like a block from there. And a pretty fascinating thing.
Yes.
I mean, that church has only been around for, you know, like 1,500 years, yeah, or something.
And we're getting used to it by this point. And so I quickly realized that for these people, losing a church like that and many churches like that with ancient relics, ancient pottery in a town like Shushi, where they lost so many churches like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now this, it's more than just a church where people congregate. It's the cornerstone of their culture. So
yeah, I mean, it's one thing when you have a building that was built in 1991 and you're excited about, you know, like the church that we go to in the States. And we understand that the church is the people and not the building. But at the same time, if you had a church where successive generations of your family for 10, 15, 20 generations had been going to this same church, and it's been around for 1,000 years or 1,500 years or 1,700 years, it does kind of become very important as a part of your culture and as a part of your faith even. And so it's not that this church has any special power. It's just that it's really important in their culture. And they have lost a lot of their very sacred sites because of that. Now, let's talk about going into the Nagorno-Karabakh. You just got to see what is the remnants of what was a war zone just 2 months ago.
Yes.
Whatever. What did that feel like?
That was absolutely insane. To actually, as we're driving along in the roads, we saw cars that were on the side of the road, completely blown to bits. You could see where cluster bombs like that you could compare to the Mark 82 Snake Eye, those kind of bombs that are like a giant shotgun.
And yeah, everybody knows what that is.
Yes. and they shoot out like a lot of shards, and they completely obliterate people and cars like that. So you could see a lot of holes in the cars, completely destroyed. And you could actually see, we saw a few cars driving by with just massive holes in them. And people, the part that struck me the most was how people reacted. People would walk right by. They wouldn't even turn a shoulder. It's like they're so, they're almost jaded by it. They're used to it.
Yeah, they are. They are used to it. Yes. Every apartment building in Stepanakert has a bomb cellar in the basement because they're used to getting bombed and they plan on getting bombed. And what we saw in Stepanakert was that the war that supposedly ended in a ceasefire back in November actually is not over. It just stopped for a while. And there's still tons of troops around. You got to see Russian troops. You got to see Armenian troops.
Yes.
You even got to see from afar some Azeri troops and a Turkish flag or two. So there are a lot of powers that are vying for this area. And this war is not over. This conflict will continue most likely in the spring when things start to warm up a little bit. There are some geopolitical things that are happening in this area that are going to make this area important to the next administration coming in the United States. Now, you've seen a lot of really cool monasteries and churches and historical sites. And what about just the people that you've met? What kind of impact did they have on you?
Definitely where I come from, people aren't nearly as hospitable. Just the other day, we went into a woman's house. Her name was, she was a tatik, what they refer to, the Armenian word for grandmothers. And she had nothing, absolutely nothing. She had lost her home. Her
bomb fell on her house.
A missile, yes. Yeah. Completely destroyed her house. And she went in and cleared it all out and doesn't even have a door. There's footage of that.
Or windows. She just has plastic.
We walk in there. We sit down. And I kid you not, after 10 minutes of being with her, I felt like she was my own grandmother. She brought out so much food, coffee, served like she had plates. It felt like Thanksgiving dinner in this small little house.
And this lady had nothing. I mean, I don't know how she came up with this stuff.
We didn't even know her.
Yeah, and actually, we didn't know she was there. We saw this bombed out house, and we were walking around in the rubble, and all of a sudden, she just emerged from the rubble. Like, well, where'd you come from?
Yeah.
You know, and she comes, and we don't speak her language, but we had a translator with us, and so she brought us into her house, sat us down, made us stay for. We ended up staying for like an hour.
Yeah,
I mean, she was just so sweet, and just bring incredible tears to your eyes to know that a woman like that. What was she, like 88, 89 years old, living alone, trying to make it on her own, no income, no house to speak of. This is just it's a condemned building that she's living in, and pretty sad.
Yes,
pretty
it sad. Was pretty sad, and it's not like a once in a blue moon that you get these kind of Armenian folk. It's everywhere, and I mean everywhere. Just yesterday, we were walking, and I went and I met with a soldier who had fought in the conflict in the 90s, who had lost and suffered the loss of both his left eye and right arm, okay? And we walked into his house. He's living in a shack with his entire family, and he went out and was serving me food with his left hand, obviously, and bringing it out to me. And just and showing so much kindness, so much love, so happy, so grateful. And it spoke directly to my heart, because there's many cases in my life where I look at my phone and maybe I don't get enough Instagram likes and I'm not happy, right? Like, this guy can't even touch and pick up his phone with his right hand. So that definitely touched me.
We are all learning to not take so much for granted, I think, over here.
Absolutely.
And so we've been falling in love again with the Armenian people. We've been praying with them and for them. And many of you have donated to help them and to send them aid. And so we've been taking aid to them. We've gotten to pass out the little lions and lambs to a lot of little kids that Victor Marx and All Things Possible Ministries has sent along with us to do that. A whole bunch of money that people have sent. We've been able to give, like that 88-year-old grandmother, we've been able to give her enough money so that she can live for months on what we gave her. The cost of living here is so low that just a few hundred dollars makes a huge difference in somebody's life. you can actually change somebody's life for just a couple $100. And so that's been a lot of fun, and we just can't, like, we can't do it enough. So we ended up extending our trip for another 4 days over here, and we're trying to find ways to help more people and to interview more people for this documentary that we're making. It's gonna be great.
So excited.
Yeah, stay tuned for that. As we go today, I just want to kind of shift gears for a minute. I want to talk to you a little bit about what we're seeing in the United States right now. I've been trying really not to pay too much attention to all the things that are going on in the U.S., but you can't even help it, because, like, we were interviewing somebody the other day, and there's some refugees in their home, and they had the TV on, and on the TV, on the local news station, they were showing scenes from the riots and the protests that were happening on Capitol Hill. It's unbelievable. And so they say, where are you going back to when you go home? And we say, well, we're going to Washington, D.C. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. Is it going to be safe for you there? These are people in a war zone that are worried about us going back to Washington, D.C. And that's kind of embarrassing, I have to say.
They felt fortunate to be where they were, where the bombs are going off around them. Like, oh, we feel bad for you that you have to go back to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and I kind of agree, because over here, nobody's wearing masks and everything's open, and it just feels normal, even though there's bombed out buildings all over. I would kind of like to stay in at least in an environment like this, because I like the freedom. And, you know, it's amazing that COVID numbers are actually
going down,
plummeting here, even though everything's open and nobody's wearing a mask. And it's very, very strange to me.
Yes.
Nevertheless, I have been watching what's going on in the United States and keeping an eye on it. And I am just sickened by what I'm seeing with these giant tech monopolies like Facebook and Amazon and Google, clamping down on people's First Amendment rights to free speech. Now, look, these are private companies. They can do what they want. If Twitter doesn't want to support Donald Trump and what he's doing, they have every right to cancel him and you know, not allow him to be on their platform, because it's a privately owned company. But the question is, are they a platform or are they a publisher? And if they're a platform like AT&T, well, then they shouldn't have anything to say about what people say on their platform. But if they're a publisher, then they should be able to edit and moderate what people put on their platform. And they're showing very clearly that they are a publisher, but they're trying to hide under the legal ramifications of a platform. So that bothers me a lot. And I've stopped posting on Twitter. I've kept my Twitter account because you can get a lot of breaking news on there. I'm just sickened by what they're all doing to gang up on Parler, to try to take other voices off the internet, to take out their competition. If you want a really poignant podcast series to listen to right now, other than mine, Go listen to a series called Real Dictators. And they talk about all these dictators throughout history. And strangely enough, there's a lot of similarities, a lot of parallels that I'm seeing with the way that these dictators came to power, whether it was Pol Pot, Mao Zedong, whether it was Papa Doc in Haiti, or any of these other dictators, Stalin, the way that they came to power and what we're seeing in the United States right now. There's some really, really concerning things that I'm seeing there. So I say all that to say this. I'm thinking really hard about moving the podcast and my social media accounts off of Facebook, off of YouTube, and going to some other platforms. I'm looking at some other platforms like that, but I want to know what you think about that. I don't want to make it political. I want to make it practical. I want to make it as easy as possible for you to get information, whether or not anybody that works for those companies wants you on their platform, because it's very likely that I, because I happen to be a conservative Christian, am going to get deplatformed, going to get taken off of there. And if that happens, I want you to still be able to get the content that I'm putting out. So would you leave a comment below, or send me an email, or go on Facebook, send me a message, and tell me what you think we ought to do regarding the future of this podcast. And I'd like to hear your statement. So thanks, Mark, for being with us today. Thank you for being a part of the Hot Zone. We got a lot more coming, so stay tuned. I'm Chuck Holton.